Take your Bibles again and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 5. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Our subject today, as we continue this series of messages from 2 Samuel chapter 9, our subject today is God's unconditional election. Whenever election is mentioned, spoken of, or even preached, hands go up in horror against it. This comes because of ignorance, false teaching, and the natural depravity of man in rebellion against the truth. Man, being a rebel, despises the fact that God is on the throne and that my Lord can show mercy on whom he will show mercy, as well as harden or pass by whom he will. Because of such rebellion, man has come up with a scheme that puts man on the throne and God at man's disposal. It is this which is palmed off as salvation and which is so popular in the churches today, with the result being that no service is ever ended without a long, drawn-out invitation. Folks are begged, coerced, and tricked into raising their hands, and such pressure is put on them that many make what is called a decision just to be left alone. However, this is not the way my Lord saves a sinner. And when one takes his stand against such nonsense, he is accused of being a false preacher and a false teacher, not interested in souls, as well as being labeled foolish or even go so far as insane. Yet in the final analysis, God is both the author and finisher of our salvation. So we had better know and follow the teaching of the Lord regarding true salvation as it is set forth from Genesis to Revelation. In our lesson today, we shall set forth God's unconditional election, which forms the basis on which every person ever converted is drawn to Christ. If you don't understand this, and most do not, you listen carefully, because these truths will be set forth which will ground you, strengthen you, and equip you if you have ever truly been converted. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3, where we read, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Here is set forth the basis and purpose, as well as the reality of unconditional election. Notice the basis of David's kindness to the son of Saul, Mephibosheth. The basis of David seeking out the rebel was due to a pit made before Mephibosheth was ever born. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verses 14 through 16, we read of the terms of the covenant. "And thou shalt not only, while I yet live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now notice this very carefully, if you will. Jonathan and David made this covenant, which was a perpetual covenant concerning their seed, and Jonathan was the recipient of it. the benefits of the covenant were passed on to the seed of Jonathan, in this case, Mephibosheth. Now, I wonder if I've lost some of you. I hope not. But I wonder now if you've caught the deeper spiritual meaning set forth. The covenant of Jonathan and David portrays the covenant of grace made in the Godhead long before man was ever put on this earth. Take your Bibles now and turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 through 21, where we read, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This covenant was made in the Godhead. And this covenant, which is often called the covenant of redemption or the covenant of grace, involved certain traits which the same covenant between Jonathan and David also had. These traits were and still are. First, the covenant was a perpetual covenant. Now let that soak in. It's never been abrogated or where it can't be perpetual any longer. It was a perpetual covenant. Secondly, the covenant involved certain kindnesses shown to certain individuals. And last of all, the covenant was based on free grace and the determination between the parties. Now let's go back and examine this for just a moment. The covenant of redemption involved the trait of being a perpetual covenant. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all involved in this covenant. God the Father chose. God the Son, Christ Jesus, guaranteed, while God the Spirit applies. God the Father chose those to be saved. With regard to Mephibosheth, he was of the seed of Jonathan. With regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the God's elect that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. God the Father chose these to be saved. It's an unconditional choice. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Here you have unconditional covenant, unconditional election. In like manner, God, David and Jonathan had an unconditional covenant. Next, we find it was a perpetual covenant. And we have also here set forth the fact that Christ was given these by God, and the Lord Jesus Christ guaranteed their redemption. David did the same thing. David guaranteed that he would show kindness unto the seed of Jonathan. And my friend, our Lord has guaranteed that those that God the Father has chosen, our Lord has guaranteed their redemption. There's no guess so in this. And this redemption is the kindness of God to us. And in Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6, we read, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." This kindness, or the kindness, I should say, of David to Mephibosheth portrays the kindness of God our Savior toward man. As David sought for, found, and bestowed on Mephibosheth his kindness, in like manner, our Lord seeks, finds, and bestows kindness on the sinner of the hour. You see, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Has he ever showed you the kindness of himself to you, my radio friend? If he has, you know it, and you never get over praising the Lord for his goodness, long-suffering, mercy, and redemption to you, do you? Now let's look at the last aspect of the covenant for just a moment, because right here, many of you are going to explode, if I may use that term. The covenant of David and Jonathan was a perpetual covenant. It was a gracious covenant, but now notice carefully, it was also a limited covenant. it concerned the seed of Jonathan. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. In like manner, the covenant of redemption is not limited, but I like that word particular a lot better. It is particular to those whom God hath chosen back yonder before the world began. Now, most of you listening to my voice believe in universalism, but this universalism is an ignorant belief. Most of you believe that Christ Jesus died for everybody, but such is not the case. Christ Jesus died for his elect ones, the ones given to him by God the Father and chosen before the foundation of the world according to God's wisdom and sovereignty. In John chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10, we read these words of Christ as he prayed this prayer to God the Father. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now you listen carefully. If you believe that Christ died for everybody, then you have to believe that Christ died for those that are now in hell at this hour, which makes the death of Christ insufficient to save. If Christ can't save because man won't let him, then Christ is not able to save a solitary individual. This is what freewillism leads to, which is blasphemy. Yet this is what most believe and preach. And as you tell individuals, they must make their decision. It's no wonder the church has lost its voice of authority in this present day world. Now let's set forth for a moment or two the reality of unconditional election as it is seen in the covenant of Jonathan and David. Now, as I've said before, this covenant was perpetual. It was gracious and it was unconditional. It did not include all Israel, but only the seed of Jonathan. Kindness was to be shown to this seed regardless of their actions and attitudes toward David. In like manner, the covenant of redemption has the same provision. The kindness of God is to be shown to God's elect, regardless of their attitudes and actions towards Christ. What makes it so marvelous is that this is exactly what takes place. Every one of God's elect hates and rebels against the Lord Jesus Christ and is found in the place of Lodibar, and out of their mouth issues shame, because every sinner is like Mephibosheth. Yet the kindness of God goes to them, and then out they come. It is all grace and pure, sovereign, irresistible grace at that. Let's go one step further. The basis of David's kindness to Mephibosheth was based on a covenant. Yet there had to be the application of this kindness, which meant there had to be the individual drawing of Mephibosheth by King David. This is set forth in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 9, where we read, Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Mahl, from Lodibar. Today we see the same thing set forth in John chapter 6 and verse 44, where we read, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now you answer this question, if you will. Has the Lord ever drawn you unto Christ? If you do not know, you better go back and find out. Because everyone whom the Lord ever delivers is drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, I'm going to tell you again, they know it. Let's look again at the covenant of redemption set forth in the story of David and Mephibosheth. There was not only unconditional election, because Mephibosheth did not cast his vote as it is taught today, but instead was elected before he was born in this world. Then also, Mephibosheth did not do the deciding. David did it. In verses 1 through 4, we see David searching and finding until he found Mephibosheth, while in verse 5, we see him drawing out this sinner for the purpose of deliverance and restoration. In like manner, my radio friend, the Lord does the same to every sinner he ever delivers. You see, I have here set forth in the Old Testament a picture of the work of God the Holy Spirit. My Lord knows where everyone of his elect are. He knows whether they be found in the drunkard hall or the honky-tonk, or he knows if they'll be found in the brothel, or he knows if they'll be found in the church or in the pulpit or in the pew or in the gutter. My Lord knows exactly where everyone of his elect are, and according to his timetable, and according to his will, he does what King David did. David sent and fetched Mephibosheth. This is irresistible grace, because when God sets forth to save this sinner, I'll tell you right now, Mephibosheth had to come. David didn't come to Mephibosheth and say, "Now, Mephibosheth, it'd be so wonderful if you would come." No, sir. We read, King David sent and fetched him. In like manner, the Holy Spirit comes after the sinner and broods over that individual and calls that sinner out of darkness, reveals to that sinner his need like Mephibosheth had revealed to him. And then we find, to the sinner's amazement, he finds that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves him and died for him. And like David did to Mephibosheth, the Lord Jesus accepts him in the Beloved, and he's redeemed forever and ever. While I've been speaking to you, some have heard, some are hearing, while others are rebelling. Man is not at the disposal of God. And if my Lord does not draw you, my friend, you will never be saved. Always remember this. My Lord doesn't have to save you, but you must be saved if you are ever to miss hell. Now let me ask you this question. Do you want to be delivered by Christ? Oh, if you do, it's because my Lord has already begun a good work in your heart. Salvation is a personal matter wrought in the heart of the individual by the Lord, and it is a personal matter between Christ and the sinner. This is involved. In like manner, no one else was involved but David and Mephibosheth. We who are the messengers of the Lord are to be the witnesses and workers of the Lord, setting forth the word and waiting on him to make application, because the application of salvation is applied by the Lord himself. Oh, remember these words, if you will. If you were supposedly led to Christ by a human agent, then put it down. Something is wrong, because no man can confess Jesus as Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It is my hope that something has been said during this short time together that the Lord is taking and will use and apply it to the hearts of you out there that need to know him. My friend, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And my hope is that something's been said that will stir your heart. Oh, seek the Lord while he may be found. Till we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.